few years ago, my youngest brother got married, actually here in this church. After the wedding ceremony was done, took a few minutes to straighten things up and do a few things, and then I headed over to the wedding reception. And as I was walking into the wedding reception, the two bartenders who were St. Anthony parishioners called me over. I thought they were just going to say hello, but they said, "Father, we have a problem." I said, "What's that?" "We've run out of wine already." I said, "I've heard this story before." I said, "I can assure you that this story is not going to end the way the other story ended. I can't turn the water into wine, but I can give you my credit card if that helps." The story of Jesus at this wedding feast is an important story because it launches into his public ministry. It says it's the first of his signs. So to understand the importance of what's happening here, I think it's important to sort of step back and review what is a Jewish wedding ceremony like. Now, while our wedding receptions, particularly in this area, may be long and go into the early hours of the morning sometimes, and there's lots of people who are there, it's still kind of a one-day event. But for the Jewish people, it actually would last several days, in some cases maybe even a week. And the bride and groom were responsible for the hospitality of those who were coming to the wedding reception. They had to plan it out, knowing how many people would be there and how many days they would stay. And so for their wine to have run out would have been an offense against hospitality. It would have been the case that people would have judged this bride and groom for not considering how many people would be there or how many days or how they should have planned out to be able to take care of their guests. In the end, they would have been judged harshly for their failure. So Jesus, using this as the opportunity of his first sign in Galilee, is particularly interesting. Is there a symbolic value to it? Is there something more than just saving this couple from being embarrassed in front of their guests? I would propose to you that there are a couple of different ways to look at this passage. The first one is to understand the biblical image of water. Let's start there. Now remember, the place where the Jews are living at this time in Israel, modern day Israel, is a very arid place by and large. In their own sort of collective memory, they would have been thinking about their 40 years of wandering in a desert, but then settling in an area that is primarily a desert. It's not a desert like we tend to think of it with sand, but it's a rock desert. It's very inhospitable. There are some places where there is a lot of ability to grow things and very fertile areas, but that's near the Jordan River. In fact, even where Jerusalem itself is not particularly fertile. You can grow a few things, but there's not an abundance of water near Jerusalem. But in Galilee, where this is taking place, much of Galilee is around the Jordan River basin. And even to this day, you can grow a lot of crops there. It's so fertile, in fact, that they have 5 harvests of corn a year. Pretty incredible. But water, in a biblical image, has for the Jewish people this notion of the law. Now, why would you connect this sort of ability to grow and fertile ground to the law? Because for the Jewish people, life came from living the law. It came from responding appropriately to what God has asked them to do. And so water was viewed as a pretty incredible thing. You can grow crops with it, you can live with it, but you live with the law. So there's this connection, this biblical connection. But what Jesus does here is turns out water into something more, something of a higher order, if you will. And so symbolically in this passage, what we're beginning to see is that Jesus is going to take the law and transform it into something of a higher order. Not doing away with it, so to speak, but making it even better. That his grace then becomes enabling in a way to live out the higher law that would be otherwise impossible. Now, all that is a little bit sort of academic, if you will. So what else might this passage be about? Well, I think one of the things that's pretty clear is that Jesus responds to the intercession of his mother, that she's the one who asks him to do this. And so that can teach us that Our Lady can be an intercessor for us. Sometimes as we Catholics look at Our Lady and give her such high praise, we don't worship her, but we honor her. Sometimes we can be challenged. Well, where in the Bible does it say that she gets such an important place? Well, this is one spot in the Bible that shows us that, that she is able to go to Jesus and ask, intercede for this couple. And he responds to her request. It can also teach us about our own prayer life, that the Blessed Mother doesn't come to Jesus and tell him exactly what to do. She just brings a concern to him and trusts that he will do it. A sense of spiritual detachment. She says, they have no wine. He asks her a question and she responds, not to him directly, but to the servers, do whatever he tells you. A complete sense of trust and detachment. It's a great spiritual lesson for us. But finally, there's a third thing. And maybe this might be the most important. Jesus worked many incredible signs and wonders. There are plenty of examples of Jesus casting out demons, healing physical ailments, even raising people from the dead. There was the multiplication of loaves. There were incredible signs and wonders. But there's something very different about this one. There is nobody who's possessed by a demon. There's nobody who's physically sick. There's nobody dead that he's raised back. There's no multiplication of loaves to feed tens of thousands of people. Instead, what are we faced with? A situation where a bride and groom, at worst, would have been ridiculed, but more often, just judged. There isn't a life or death problem here. They simply miscalculated either the number of guests or the length of the celebration and ran out of wine. It's a rather mundane problem. It's something that did not result in a question of life or death or even a failing of the law, but simply a miscalculation and a lack of hospitality. Jesus chooses this moment to work his first sign and to reveal himself to his disciples. Here's what I think we can take from this. Jesus cares about even the most mundane things in our life. I've heard people say, and I've said this myself, oh, this thing in my life, it's such a small thing. Why would it matter? Would God really care about such a small thing? After all, God cares about the whole universe, so he must be more focused on things like war and poverty and famine and people who are sick and dying. This little problem in my life, I'm not going to take that to the Lord. Well, you know, God knows everything and he's all powerful. He can deal with more than one thing at a time. He's the eternal multitasker, if you will. You see, Jesus' first miracle had to deal with a rather simple problem that somebody was facing that was just part of their everyday life. And he solved it. Through the intercession of Our Lady, he took care of this couple, which was not a life or death problem, was not flashy or concerning other than just simply running out of wine. Imagine what it would be like for his disciples who were gathered with him, who were beginning to see that there's something unusual about Jesus, that he might be the promised Messiah, the one to save Israel, and then to realize that the first miracle he worked was about an everyday concern. You see, in this passage, I think that perhaps the most important spiritual lesson for us is that there is no detail too small in our life that our Lord does not care about. There's no problem in our life that is too inconsequential for him to not pay attention. There's nothing in our life that is too simple to not lift up in prayer, to talk about it with our Lord, and to consider his grace at work in our life. We can be distracted by the large miracles that Jesus has worked and miss the fact that Jesus' first miracle was about a pretty simple problem. It was about an everyday concern. It was about the simplicity of a bride and groom who miscalculated how much wine they should buy. Jesus cares about you infinitely, which means he cares about even the smallest details of your life.